Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, the bad thing has happened. I'm sat here watching the Arsenal players celebrate in front of the away fans. This is fucking miserable. Naively, I thought these type of days are behind us. Not that we'd never lose to them again, but in this sort of manner, this sort of fashion, especially at home, this is fucking horrible. This is horrible. Awful afternoon. Miserable afternoon. Very few of the Tottenham players can walk off the pitch with their heads held high this afternoon. Couple of little spells of decent enough pressure, but come on, man. Like, this has been bad. This has been bad. This is a North London derby. That first half was a fucking abomination. It was an abomination. And I don't care about this kind of tactical style that people say that Conte has, where we're supposed to draw teams in and hit him on the second half. Can't do that against a team like Arsenal. We just can't now. They're a good fucking side now. It's disgusting. But they've come to our ground and they've played us off the fucking park for, let's say, 80 minutes of the 95. Horrible. Horrible. It just reminds me of the olden days, you know? This is what it's like. The Arsenal turning up and just taking the piss. All their fans taking the piss. All their players taking the piss. Watching Arteta on the fucking touchline taking the piss. It's miserable. This is miserable, and there's nothing else I can call it. It's horrible. It's the worst fucking feeling. Yes, I know. In a year's time, this doesn't mean anything. But right now, this moment in time, this is fucking horrible. I was going to, like I did the last time when I was at the Wolves game, record bits of crowd atmos, all that type of stuff. There's none of that today. None of that. There's no point. Because there were barely pockets of it. And that's... maybe we played our part in this. It's been an oddly subdued day, all day. In the pubs beforehand, up the high road, all of it. There's been a feeling... and I'll say it, it's not revising history. I was talking to Phil, talking to Charlie, talking to Charlotte, Kath. People before the game, my mates... there's a funny feeling in the air that it's not going to be a good afternoon. And I was thinking, you know, at the time I was like, look, I can easily see this game being, it's 2-1 to Tottenham, an ugly, hard-fought win, but we got more experience, we got Harry Kane with a point to prove, blah, 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 blah. Everything says that we should be able to maybe do this on 2-1. But equally, and this was the fear, the way they've been playing and the way they've been playing, they could have left here with a 3-4-0 win. And you're right, it wasn't quite that bad. We played a bit better in the second half, but come on, man. We're clutching at straws here. We barely created any proper clear-cut opportunities. Barely. Kulusevski tried his best first half. Sorry, I'm coughing a lot. But first half, I thought Kulusevski looked rusty. And he got into the game, and he was starting to be one of our more dangerous players in the second half. It's our only creative outlet. Kane was trying his best. Kane was dropping back. He was playing too far back. So you've got no creativity in the side. None whatsoever. And it's afternoons like today when that really shows. It really fucking shows. And it really worries me that Antonio Conte doesn't... he feels that be successful in the Premier League now without playing a creative player in midfield. People talked about him, Eriksen, being one of the best players for him under Inter. It was begrudging. He chucked Eriksen in because he had to, because he didn't have any other options. And lo and behold, Eriksen turned their fortunes that season. He went on to win Serie A. But this year, we're lacking that. I look at Partey. Awful man as he is, whatever. We're talking about him on the pitch, what he did for us, what he did for them today. He was superb for them. Martin Odegaard, absolutely fantastic. We couldn't handle it. We couldn't handle him. Pape Matassar did his best. I think, considering it was a debut for him, he was trying his absolute best. And he was getting the ball, he was using it quite well, he was passing it about nicely, but what's he supposed to do, man? Højbjerg, who is one of the more senior players in the team, and look, I'm going to dig him out, because it's nights like tonight, days like today, when you're counting on someone like Pierre-Emile Højbjerg to turn up, and he just didn't, he was completely lost in the centre of the park. And yeah, all right, he's playing with a young player on his debut, but it's no excuse, man. He's supposed to be the one that's stepping up. Saar was the better of the two of them. And when you look at Højbjerg in games like today, you look at a player like Thomas Partey, what he did for Arsenal today. Are we getting that from Højbjerg? Have we ever gotten that from Højbjerg? And it's these questions we've got to start asking, these awkward, uncomfortable, horrible questions that people don't want to do. We want to shout and scream and talk about Levy out and all this type of stuff, but we get so attached to some of these players that, you know, he's good. He's a good squad player. But is he good enough? I don't know. I don't want to just rag on one player in particular. It feels harsh, you know, but it's just awful. Lloris. Just a terrible performance. I didn't even see properly what happened, to be honest with you. From where I was sat, I couldn't see it properly. I didn't see what happened, but I hear it's an own goal. I hear he's fumbled the ball over the line. That's a fucking club captain. It's a club captain. He's supposed to be one of our most dependable best players, and he's spilling the ball over the line. How many times are we seeing him do this type of stuff now, you know? How often do we continue to forgive that because of what he's done in the past? Great, brilliant, but he's clearly massively on the decline now. He clearly is. And we've not had a proper contingency plan in place. Never have. All right, Paul Lopez for 15 minutes. But other than that, what? And now we're in a position where we need to spend serious money on bringing another goalkeeper into the team, because it's just fucking awful. I'm walking around now outside White Hart Lane, and I feel like any moment I'm just going to get fucking punched by somebody or something for being some melty podcast, vlogging, whatever. So if that happens, I apologise in advance. People are not very happy though outside, so. And I'm walking around with a little Zoom recording device with a big fluffy, like, fucking wind protector on the end of it. So it's the most unsubtle bait thing I can do while I'm walking around here with a lot of angry people everywhere. Because, like I say, fucking miserable afternoon. I've just dug out Højbjerg there. I've just dug out Lloris. Lloris deserves it probably more. Højbjerg I'm frustrated with, but I'm getting frustrated with him for basically just being what he is, which is a limited, decent footballer, but not brilliant, you know. And he's not letting the side down. He's not being an arsehole. He tries his best, but he's just not good enough. Ryan Sessegnon, I thought he played all right for a little window in the first half, but again, just completely disappeared. I'm assuming Ivan Perisic is injured, because I can't imagine any other reason why he hasn't started that game. Because, you know, that's awful. Horrible, horrible, horrible performance from him. Got hooked. People cheering ironically. And it's miserable. He's just not shown up. has he, at any point now. We've put a lot of faith in him. He's had a lot of good faith from the Tottenham fan base. People have really wanted it to come good for him, but just not at any point has he been good enough. He just hasn't. And again, it's another one of those horrible, grim realities that we just have to face now. Heung-min Son, I love him. Love him. He's done a lot for the club. And I do back him, as I say, and I'm not just going to completely go back on myself. I do back him to reinvent himself, to come good. But it's not looking good for him. It is not looking good for him at all. He's in a horrible, horrible, horrible place. He's bringing almost nothing to the team. Almost nothing. I was surprised when they took off Kulusevski and brought on Brian Hill. I don't know how Son managed to stay on the pitch there. I really don't. It seemed bizarre to me. He did next to nothing today. Absolutely next to nothing. I don't know. It's just this is raw. This is raw. It's not nice to lose. I mean, it's not nice to lose to them at home. And as much as I'm digging out the players, I'm sorry. People don't want to hear it. People don't like me saying this. People want to dig out Daniel Levy and all this. Antonio fucking Conte, man. £15 million a year he is being paid. £15 million a year he is being paid. What are we watching? What did we just see? What's the identity? And I really couldn't care less about this whole, what's he supposed to do with Eric Dier? What's he supposed to... Bollocks, man. It's absolute bollocks. You've got teams with way worse squads than we have playing decent football in this Premier League. Look at fucking Fulham right now. The way they knock the ball about. The sort of belief, the sort of unity in their squad. Look at teams like even Brighton. And I'm sure if people want to start doing man-for-man comparing us. Nah, but I would say overall we have better team than Brighton. But look at the way they knock the ball about. And all right, okay. We take that step back. We're fifth in the league, maybe sixth in the league now, I think. Yeah, I think Fulham, ironically, have overtaken us. We're in touching distance of the Champions League, but that distance gets ever further away from us. And as I've always said, I just don't think Conte is that fit for this club. I don't see why. I don't see the players playing for him. I don't see them going all out for him. Right, you hear Kulusevski, and this is what's been thrown back at me. Kulusevski has said at one point, I signed for this club because Antonio Conte. All right, fair enough. But what I see on the pitch is not a group of players all fucking playing for him, all playing, you know, without their... Sorry, there was just somebody... I don't know if you heard that. There was somebody shouting in the background there. There's like a... I think it's like some kind of international television station there, and they had some Tottenham fans shouting and screaming in the background, a bit of an Arsenal fan TV type reaction. So it sort of threw me a bit there. Antonio Conte, £15 million a year. There seems to be no plan. There's no identity. I don't think the players are bought into what he's doing. I don't think there's any belief in there. And Keith Byman, every other press conference is coming out of his weird cryptic shit, hammering the club, hammering the players, basically saying his squad's shit. I just don't buy it, lads. I don't buy it. I think, yeah, okay, maybe it'd be fucking good. Paying the most expensive ticket prices in the country to feel that the board are going to, you know, address the right wing-back situation or buy a left centre-back. Buy a left centre-back is probably a bigger one. Right wing-back, I mean, Emerson Royale, we just dropped 30 mil a year ago on him, and right, it hasn't paid off, but to say that we haven't tried is, I think, not true. Maybe we just need to take the loss on that and move onwards and upwards, but I really don't know what to suggest, man. I don't enjoy watching Tottenham. I don't enjoy Tottenham in a North London derby sitting back and doing nothing for half a game of football, because that was fucking awful. That first half, as I said, was a fucking abomination. It was absolutely fucking horrible. Absolutely horrible. And there's nothing else I can say about that. There's no redeeming features there. All right, and second I say it, I'm like, you know, Saar was quite good, actually. Saar proved that he could step up and be okay. And I do, I agree with myself. That's big of you, Jack. But I do think that. I do think he did well. But other than that, in terms of the style of play, in terms of what our plan was, what we were trying to do, I don't see it. I haven't done at all this season. We had a freak run at the end of last year. Oh, okay, I'm not going to say a freak run. That's not fair. I can't just say when something goes against what I'm saying that it's a freak run. But it felt like we had Kulusevski playing out of his skin, this revelation signing that nobody was expecting, who made things happen for us. And other than that point, Snart Conte's tenure was horrible. That was decent, good window, got into Champions League. But this entire season has been horrible. It's been grim. It's been miserable to watch. It's been miserable to see him acting like he's doing us a favour constantly. And this is just, today is the cherry on top of it all. Because the lack of fight, like I say, the lack of fight, the lack of unity on show, all of it, horrible. Horrible. I'm sorry, this is raw. I'm hard. I'm at the football. I've had a few beers. So this is a bit raw. And we've lost to Arsenal, man. We've lost to fucking Arsenal at home. We've just seen them taking a piss in our stadium. So I do apologise if this is not the cheeriest of listening, but it's just shit. I'm just trying to load up now the team lineup so I can go through the players one by one. Tottenham versus Arsenal. Hugo Lloris. Thanks for the memories, but it's time to go. And it really is. Really is. People may say, bet the devil you know and all that, but he's got to go, man. He's getting on. And I said quite churlishly not long ago that, you know, there's been one constant between Pochettino, Mourinho, Nuno, all of it, all of our failures, and that's Hugo Lloris, our captain. That probably is quite harsh, but equally maybe there's something in that. Who knows? Because do his mistakes breed kind of an uncomfortable sense amongst the whole team, amongst the defence? I don't know. Like, just not a good performance from him today. He's our captain. He's supposed to be one of our best players. Hard enough against a team like Arsenal, and he's chucking a ball in the back of the net. Come on, man. It's time we drop. I did a tweet like this, but genuinely, I mean it. Fuck the right wing back. Fuck the left centre back. In terms of priority, we still need them. But in terms of priority, it's goalkeeper. If we're dropping a big wedge of money, goalkeeper. Get a good goalkeeper in. Get a good goalkeeper in that can play out from the back. Because most managers want to do that nowadays. Whether it's Conte or whether it's fucking Pep Guardiola or Jurgen Klopp, whoever. They all want to play out from the back. We've always known Hugo Lloris hasn't been able to do this. And he still can't. I don't know what he does. Like, we all do a job, right? Well, most of us do a job. And if you don't, that's, you know, whatever. Tie myself in fucking knots here. Anyway, people do jobs. People do things. People do professions. They have hobbies. They work on those and they get better at them. I don't understand how Hugo Lloris, a man, a millionaire, a literal millionaire, paid to play football, in all this time has not been able to make his kicking better. How? How is that possible? How is that acceptable? I don't get it. I don't get it. I never have done, and I don't get it. Oh, hang on. Wait, 1 second. Charlotte's calling. Charlotte? Yeah, I'm good. I'm at the exit to the, you know, like the gift shop, you know, where there's that big LED screen. No. Okay, all right. I'll see you there. Okay, all right then. Bye-bye. Very rude of her to interrupt me like that. She was just telling me that she's actually walked down. Are we supposed to be meeting out the back of the stadium? You see where the, you know where the gift shop exit is? Opposite that Beavertown corner pin now, as it's called, and number 8. No, she's actually walked down the high road. She's down the Seven Sisters now. So you're gonna join me on this walk. Christian Romero. Yeah. Thought he was all right, you know. Thought he did okay. I thought his yellow card looked a bit harsh from where I was sat, but maybe it wasn't. I was pretty certain he was going to get sent off, but that didn't happen, obviously. Decent enough performance. Man, this is hard. I'm sorry. This is the worst of them, honestly. Out of all of these, this is the bad thing, man. This is the bad thing. This is Man City losing yesterday, Arsenal winning here at White Hart Lane, en route to, let's be honest, probably winning the Premier League. How the fuck are we back here? How the fuck are we back here again? Honestly, how are we back in this place? I just don't get it. I don't get how they've gotten, as I was saying to Ben, if you listen to the opposition preview I did with Ben, he's a good lad. I'm not going to speak into him for a fucking while. But as I was saying to him, I just don't get how Arsenal have, in this time, gotten worse than Spurs and now gotten better than us to the point that they're going to win the Premier League. Like, it's shite. Absolutely shite, and I really cannot see them not doing it now. They've got such a lead.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
They've got such momentum and they just look so fucking solid. They just look so fucking solid. They're brilliant, you know? Like, so, as predicted, I should have kept the thing rolling, to be fair. As predicted, a man just came and started on me. Yeah, someone just came and started on me. Just stumbled over to me. And, yeah, whatever. Nothing happened. I just told him to fuck off. Because I'm hard, you know. Weird, though. But that's what happens in these games, you know. People get annoyed. They see a man walking down the high road with a fluffy microphone recording device thing. They're annoyed that Arsenal have just beaten us at White Hart Lane, and he wants to have a go at me. Fair enough, but also, fuck off, mate. You know, God, this is really going through really going through the fucking motions. This one, isn't it? Jesus, it's not going through the motions. It's going, I don't know. A range of emotions. This feels like a fucking breakdown, recorded breakdown. Eric Dyer. Was he any good? No, not really, because I feel his biggest problem really is that he just doesn't
he doesn't inspire any confidence in the players around him, and opposition players think you can get at him. I don't really think he made any massive errors today from where I was sat, from what I could see. I don't think there are any big fuck-ups as far as that was concerned, but even still, what's he bring to us anymore? He's got heart, he's got a bit of passion, but even that was fairly lacking today. I just don't see what he is other than a solid squad player. And that feels harsh to say, but, you know, that is what it is. Clement Longley, okay, I think he tried a few probing passes, but we were just pegged back, you know? Pegged back. There was nothing we could really do. What are we supposed to do, you know? What are we supposed to do? Because he's only on loan. I don't think anyone thinks we're going to sign him, do we really? I don't know. Sorry, everyone. This is a bad one today. Matt Doherty, fine. And that's that. You know, he's the best of a bad bunch. Although that feels harsh to call Spence a part of a bad bunch. I would like to see more of Spence. I would like to see Spence and Destiny Udogi playing under a progressive, exciting manager next year. Be that Pochettino or be that somebody else. I don't know. But I struggle to believe that Jed Spence couldn't bring anything to this team that either Matt Doherty or Emerson Royale do. I just don't buy it. Don't believe it. I feel pretty annoyed by it. I had this like weird and it definitely naive sort of hope that Jed Spence might figure, that he might kind of get a place in the team because of the way he's played against Martinelli previously. But nah, obviously that wasn't going to happen. But it would have been nice, wouldn't it? Ryan Sessegnon, who I've already dug out on the top end of the pod, he was not good. It was very little there to suggest that he is ever going to be a player that you can trust in games like that. There's always that kind of silly hope that, okay, he's not had the best time of it, but maybe he can just do something. Maybe. But, you know, no. He couldn't, could he? You know? As he always does, he bricks it. He started, like I say, he started off the game pretty well, but then I feel by the end of it, he starts bricking it. And you know exactly what comes from that point. Absolutely fuck all. There's no threat whatsoever. It's just a shame. It's a shame, but again, it's another player and he's a prime example of a time when I feel that Spurs get quite unlucky. Ryan Sessegnon was a exciting young player. He was one of the most probably exciting prospects in the country when we signed him. 30 mil. Felt like he should be a good thing, but just hasn't worked out that way. And I guess, you know, you would say however many times. It's the same summer, I believe, as the Chelsea and Ndombele. I guess they've all been quite unlucky in terms of joining the club at a pretty fractured moment in our history, all that type of thing, but that's got to be behind him now, you know? If you're going to make it, I get it, he's human. I understand this. I understand that he's human. I understand that he probably tries, he probably works his hardest, but it's a results business. It's a results business, Gov. And the results are not good. Højbjerg, I've already dug him out, I've gone on about him. You know, just not. I think we saw today, he's not good enough. Ultimately, he's not good enough. He might have good games, he might be a decent option for us. He might be somebody who plays and gives it his all. But when the chips are down, buddy, he just is not at the required level to be a team that wins a Premier League or would like to win a Premier League. He just isn't there. Sorry, he just isn't. I'm back there. I'm back there with him. I think he's been particularly decent this season at times in windows, but at the same time, I just don't think he's got it. I just don't. And I don't feel like this is being knee-jerk at the back of an Arsenal game. It might be slightly, I'll give you that, slightly. But really, overall, I don't think so. I think he's just good. I think his ceiling, his glass ceiling, is a 7 out of 10. And that's where he is. And if we do want to win a Premier League or something big and be a top team, I think we need a better player there than him. But there you go, you know, just my opinion. A chubby, hairy podcaster. Papu Matsar, I thought he was very good today. Considering this is, I think it's his debut, right? His full, well, start. No, his start. He was really, really good. He brought a level of composure to the midfield that was surprising for such a young player. And as Charlie Parrish said on the Hometown Glory podcast, maybe we should not be so surprised by that. He has already played 2 seasons of men's football in France. He's played a World Cup campaign. This idea that he's just some academy graduate is not entirely true. So, you know, maybe we shouldn't be overly surprised by that, is the only point. That he's actually good. We did part with, what, £30 million to sign him, so, you know. Although, as I've just said, we've parted with £30 million for Ryan Sessegnon, so fuck knows. But a good player. I thought he tried his best to make things happen, was probing with his passing, he was still getting stuck in, making decent, clean tackles against a tricky midfield in opposition. It's a good game. Good game for him, I thought, if I can call it that, you know. Oh dear God. Heung-min Son, I've spoken about him already, but, you know, I'll just reiterate. What's happened to you, Sonny, man? Are you in your own head? Have you just gotten old? Has old father time just caught up with you? Maybe. I forgive you for that. I don't think it's for lack of trying. You can't be annoyed with Sonny. He's not trying. I wouldn't ever think he would do that, to be honest. But what did you bring today? What did you bring at all? There was no threat there. He didn't look at all scary to the opposition. They looked fairly comfortable every time he was on the ball. My personal feeling now, and again, I base this on just watching on television, not being in the man's head, not watching him in training or anything like that. I understand this, don't get me wrong. But my personal feeling is time has caught up with him. I feel that he just doesn't move as freely and as cleanly as he used to. He doesn't look like he's got that explosive kind of spark in his play and his step anymore. And as I've said previously, I don't think that means there isn't still a player there in Sonny, but I do think it means that he's somebody that we need to consider how we utilise best now. Wilfred Zaha is going on a free this summer. Maybe you could get him for a cut price now. Could he be somebody? People have always said, like, no, we don't need Zaha. We have Son. But now, maybe Zaha could be perfect foil for Son. He could be playing in that position and Son can rotate in, you know, later parts of the second half or whatever. Who knows? I don't know, man. I'm just looking at the back of a fucking loss to Arsenal when you're trying to find answers to questions that you're not even sure of what they are. Did that make any sense whatsoever? Basically, I'm not even sure what the questions are, let alone what the answers are. Sign Wilfred Zaha? Should we? Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, Sonny man, I love you, but you know, just not quite there now, man. Just not quite there. Dejan Kulusevski, first half was pretty quiet. Whether that's because of Conte's style of play or blah 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 blah, who knows? I thought he looked quite rusty, like I say. I didn't think he was really kind of picking up the ball as cleanly as he can, the way he can kind of get it in his stride and just take it past players and release the ball nicely, pass it about nicely. But come the second half, he was, you know, he was one of our best players on the pitch. He was basically doing everything he could to try and get us back into the team. He's clearly one of the, funny, even though he's one of the youngest players there probably, he's one of our senior players, he's one of our best players. Doesn't look fully fit, but today was not about what he was not bringing to the table. He tried his best, and you know, I can only thank him for that, because you know, it's what you want in these type of games. You want your best players to step up, and I feel like he tried. Harry Kane, people will probably say I'm giving him something of a pass. There was always that hope, wasn't there, that dream scenario that he was going to step up, get the two goals, break Greaves' record against Arsenal, and right, he hasn't won a trophy, but that's something. But this shit just doesn't seem to happen for Tottenham, and it doesn't seem to happen for Harry Kane. Who knows what it is anymore? We can speculate all we want, but it's just weird and it's sad. And I think he, like Kulusevski, tried his best. He probably tried too hard. He was dropping back constantly. He was doing loads of fucking defending a lot of the time, if anything, which, you know, when you're chasing a goal and stuff, you want your striker up there, but he's one of our only creative outlets, and he was still spraying the ball to Son or to Kulusevski, trying to make something happen. And he just wasn't working. Wasn't working for him, wasn't working for us. Didn't get the goals. Arsenal left, winning 2-0. And like I say, as I've sort of touched on there, poor me, but what are you supposed to do, man, as a fucking Spurs fan? Because it feels like we are literally in hell sometimes, you know? It makes me wonder, what the fuck did we do? Are we bad people? Are we literally in hell? Because how does this continue to happen? How do the nightmare scenarios always happen? Why is it never that we get the... Look at Manchester City, right? Yeah, right, they spend all that money, all that type of thing. Not only did they get the Aguero moment, they then got, on the final season when he's retiring, Vincent Kompany scoring a centre-back Vincent Kompany scoring, what, a 35-yard thunderbolt against Leicester, top corner, wins City, the Premier League, vanquishes the upstarts Liverpool, and the narrative is set and it's done. And they build a statue of him outside the ground. But still, for Spurs, I could say even this, we could have drawn 2-2. They could have gone 2-0 up and Kane, second half, could have come back 2-2, scored the two goals, got us a draw, stopped them from beating us on our turf. He'd have broken Greaves' record. Even that, that's like a knockdown version of the dream scenario. We don't even get that, you know? And I know this sounds whiny, and I know it sounds all very poor me, but when do the good times come for us, you know? When does it happen? When do the breaks just go our way? Happen for Leicester, happen for Liverpool. Yeah, and I know you can say they spent money and blah, 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 all that type of shit. But at the same time, the breaks just happen for people. They just do. They're happening for Arsenal this year. Arsenal are going to win the Premier League. They are. That's not Tottenham fan paranoia, worry, fucking frenzy. That's the truth of the matter. Any other team in their position right now, we don't want to accept it, but any other team in their position right now, you say they've won the Premier League, and they have. It doesn't matter if there's only half the season to go or all this sort of stuff. We know how this goes. We don't even get to enjoy the downfall of Chelsea, downfall of Liverpool, West Ham maybe getting relegated, because in that same time, Arsenal are going to win the Premier League. And en route to doing that, they won their first game at White Hart Lane. After we made it our personalities for half a season, seeing Arsenal get battered every other game. And I love that, don't get me wrong, I'm not fucking having a dig at that. But tail end of last year, when we got that Champions League place ahead of them, and we were all singing Arsenal get battered everywhere they go, that's truly, truly coming back to bite us right now. It's, what can I say, you know, maybe I'll have some better perspective on this in the coming days. I'll give my head a wobble, but I don't really see what perspective there is to have this. I do apologise. I've tried to lighten this as best I can with a few moments of humour, but we've just lost 2-0 at home to Arsenal. Shit, isn't it? Yeah, I'm just going around in a bit of a circle. I think, look, if I'm trying to make myself feel better and try and make anyone who's listening to this feel a bit better as well, the only thing I can hope for right now is that by some sort of miracle, I talk about Spurs not getting that miracle ending, Spurs not getting that happy ending. Maybe, just maybe. I'm just making myself fucking laugh even about to say it. But maybe we win the Champions League, Arsenal win the Premier League, and then, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks later, we win the Champions League. Champions Europe, you'll never sing that. And we undo whatever joy they have or whatever bragging rights they think they have over us. I mean, they still would have some bragging rights, to be fair, but you know what I'm saying. Lovely to win the FA Cup, of course. Great day out. Not just a great day out, it'd be great to win it. But I'm talking about in the context of Arsenal winning winning the Premier League. I do think it will have to be Spurs winning the Champions League, which will bring any form of medicine to that situation, because this is just looking grim right now. So let's just hope for that. But yeah, feels like the old days again. Here we are. Thanks to everybody who is supporting the show via the Buy Me A Coffee website. Please, if you can spare any pennies whatsoever, the link is in the Twitter bio. Fantastic. Great. If not, don't worry. Carry on listening, and if you can. If you can't support the show financially, please just support the show with a share or a like, a retweet, anything like that. I put it out across multiple platforms. I also have a YouTube channel that I put it out on because some people told me they'd like to listen on YouTube. Like to listen to stuff on YouTube. I don't, but you know, some people do. So fair enough. I guess we all have different devices and whatever. Shut the fuck up. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.